and I eat, my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up the glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And he'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, all the fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. And sweeping up the glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Brother Mark, if you come this time, I ask you to receive the offering tithes.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day in your house. And pray that you come and add your blessings to the tithes, to the offerings, Father. And that you bless each giver today in a very special way, Father God. And help us all to walk in the light of the word that you've given us, Father, and to be aware of what you want us to be, Lord. Touch Brother Sam, continue to strengthen him, Father. Anoint him with the word, Father, and help him to bring forth all that you have for us today, Father. Forgive us of all sin and iniquity in thy precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Let's turn over to number 89. Must Jesus bear the cross alone?
Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross cause a great cross I'll bear till death shall set me free. And then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet. With joy I'll cast my golden crown dear name repeat. Oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day. Ye angels from the stars, come down and bear my soul away. Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No,
cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Amen. Let's all stand at this time, and I'll ask Brother Colley if he'll come in responsive reading.
The years change, but Jesus Christ remained the same. So just keep holding on to what he promises and what he's given unto us. And you know, I thought this little pain that we feel in our bodies is nothing compared with what he suffered for on the cross. And so that great pain that he bare, we just get a little bit of it. But thank you. We're going to read from Psalm 92 this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we're grateful, Lord, and we're thankful, Lord, for your presence, for being with us and in our hearts, God guiding us and protecting us. Lord, we ask you to continually open our eyes that we may see, Lord, that which you have left for us to see. God, we ask you to guide our footsteps, Father. Give us strength within our hearts, within our bodies. Lord, let us love one another with undying love. God, and we thank you. We ask you to bless those that are in the Sunday school classes this day. Bless the pastor, Father. He's prepared to bring your word unto us. God, wherever we are, let us always remember that you are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the parsley, upon the harp, with a solemn sound.
Be thou, O Lord, as made me glad through the Lord. I will triumph in the works of thy hands.
O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all thy workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever.
But thou, Lord, art most high.
For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish, all the works of iniquity shall be scattered.
But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
My eyes also shall see my desire on my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
These that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
They shall still bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
To show that the Lord is upright, he's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. God bless you. Be seated.
Let's turn over page 94. There's going to be a meeting in there.
Well, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush, and you have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph, and
should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own son, he will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Well, many things will there be missing in that meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all, and there will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner has refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, he will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. And there the doubters will be missing altogether, and all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the ancients will be busy far away. There the saints will have his seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiment none but ransom ones can wear. And all who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own son, he will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. And there the doubters will be missing altogether, and all the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the ancients will be busy far away. But there the saints will have his seal upon their forehead, dressed in raiment and what ransom ones can wear. And all who have the wedding garment will be present at that meeting in the air. For there's going to be meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. And I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own song, son. He will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Amen. Aren't you looking forward to it? Let's turn over to 113. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you're from me withhold of his silver and his gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird, and take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He will save and he will heal. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven, he answers all our prayer, and he has made a way for you and will lead you safely through. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out.
So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, this is my favorite part. He will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Leave it there. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen. You believe that this morning? Let's turn over to 127. Are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the matins bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And when the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the matin bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Aren't you happy you're washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's all stand at this time. You ready to hear the word? Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Always looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Every day we get closer to it. So I'm expecting more this year than I've ever seen in my life. That's the way I go. Always looking forward to seeing what is coming, but never forgetting what's taking place, because that's the right way to be. All right? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Ephesians 1. And then we're going to read 1 Peter 1, and then we'll go to Romans 10. Glad to have our visitors back there with us. We always say to you, welcome. You come one time, you're a visitor. You come two times, you're just a part of us. So we say to you, welcome. And just everybody will look around, and they'll see Sister back there, and they'll say, well, that's got to be your sister. So we'll know that for sure. Glad to have everybody. All right, now remember, Bible study this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. All right, we moved it a week over because of being the too close to the first of the year. All right, remember then, too, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Longora's on the third Saturday of this month. So remember that. Remember, Brother Aaron will be preaching, the Lord willing, this coming Wednesday. And remember our wife, because she's going for, I don't know what they call it, operational something. It's going to be, really, they don't know exactly yet what it is, but She will be doing that Wednesday, so remember her in your prayers. I think that's all of the announcements and all. Okay. Any other announcement? I always forget something. We had a wonderful time. I really did. I enjoyed. I thought that was about the best I'd heard Brother Forney preach. You know, I believe, you know, in all of the hearing, I really enjoyed it because it was right down my alley of understanding. So that's why I enjoy somebody that preaches the way that I believe, you know. And you say, well, are you the only believer? No, but I'm the only one that believes what I believe. You got to believe what you believe. All right, so that puts it back in your lap, all right? But we did have a good time, and all of the singing and all of the fellowshipping, all of the food that was fixed, all of the things that happened and they're doing, we appreciate everybody, and we had a good time doing that, all right? Now, Ephesians 1, and then somebody. Oh, we got it down. I'm looking around, not even paying attention. They done pulled the screen, okay? Ephesians 1, then we'll go to 1 Peter, and then we'll go to Romans. I want to kind of get a little thought or a layout of something that I believe that we will be more this year on the Word being open than ever before, because that's my way of looking at it. I'm expecting that, because with the enemy coming in like a flood, what are we promised? The Spirit would raise up a standard against that. So where's his standard? It's going to be in the Word, being made known and alive to each and every one of us. So we do that. Father, we thank you for this day, and we praise your great name, and we ask you to just be with us. Thank you for giving us another year, Lord, another time. We thoroughly enjoyed last year, and Lord, we're looking forward to seeing this year, but we never forget the daily happenings that we walk one day at a time, Lord, in you. Have your way with us. Remember the sick among us and just touch each one. Remember all of the things, Lord, that we ask you continually to remember the people around the world that are tuning in to the services and things and listening, that, Father, we're sorry that we're not educated enough for them to be able to even probably understand our language because it'd be hard to interpret it. But yet we do the best we can, so you promised you'd work it out. It's not what we can do anyway. It's what you can take care of. Have your way. Forgive our sins. Lead us in your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1. I reckon we got all the announcements, didn't we? Did I say Brother Aaron will be preaching Wednesday? Got that covered. Okay. All right. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, what? Accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed for in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose. Now watch. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We may be in a permissive will, but remember, we are going to come to the perfect will, irregardless, because, you know, if we are the bride of Christ, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, see, it is not sealed. It's not an anointing. Right? It's not just an anointing coming on you. It is sealed with that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal, right? Which is the earnest of our inheritance till until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, we used this the other day. We want to go back through again in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again. We know that's a process going on, but remember, it's going on. It has to start, and then it has to go on until it finishes with all things. Being born again, what? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Okay? Go back to Romans now, because we want to get our thought and then go on with the word of God. So we'll start with verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, what, except they be sent? Sent. All right. Now remember, that's a good point of saying it. Because remember, if he sends you, he's going in you. That's his way. That's the way of being sent. Not making nothing then out of the person. It's all in him. And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now I pray that what we tried to bring out on some things on predestination and all has been helpful to you. It has been to me. If I can get to it this morning, if not this afternoon, we will cover a point that has always been not wrong to my thinking, but always been a stumbler to me. And I've always believed it that way, that all of the Bible is a stumbler to you until it's revealed. All right? Until it's revealed. I don't care how simple it is. You say, there is one God. See, that's got to be revealed to you, or it's just a quote from somebody or some thought that was brought to you. But when it's revealed, it's all right. So now that's what we want, right? We want it to be, because it's got to be that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm going to cover a lot of territory, so I may break it up and go this afternoon with the last part. But just remember one thing that we've been trying to cover. Brother Branham said on the message, The Power of God, 1955, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks to destiny. All right, so which comes first? Oh, he just predetermined. No, foreknowledge. Now, we put 27 sermons so far, 26, on talking about that. So, you know, it shouldn't be that you would wonder what I believe. Because if not, go back and listen to what I believe. I firmly believe in that what the prophet has said there, and like on adoption, he would say election looks back to foreknowledge. And he said then foreknowledge looks forward or goes on to destination. All right? So when you're dealing with predestination, remember that you're dealing with a predetermined point, but how is it predetermined that God be not a respecter of persons? It is predetermined by foreknowledge. Right? See, then that's simple. You say, but that does away with the great revelation that I have of this great thing. Well, hold on. You might find something in there we might agree on. All right? But that's the point. See, predestined, God doesn't predetermine anything except by his foreknowledge. Then the thing formed can't say, why did you form me? Because he didn't form us that way. He knew we would come that way by his foreknowledge. All right? Then it would be the point of being what? Destiny would be determined. Is any problem with that? In believing an eternal God? Believing an eternal person like God, that thinking that he could not know the beginning from the ending, but yet he has to do it in a way. Now, don't ever forget this point. God has to work in a way that he does not cross his own word, because he cannot cross it. His word is eternal. He cannot mix up his scriptures and things. They are perfect. All right? Maybe not the way we understand, but they're perfect. Just like we talk about, you know, for all of the years we had water baptism we thought was right for about 1,500 years, didn't we? Right. We thought, boy, we had it. The Catholic Church had told us how to, it was to be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because Matthew said that. Well, that's true. Matthew said that. But what did Matthew say? All right. Heard just the other day that the Catholics now are reviewing everything they're doing. Because why? Because they're going to try to get along with everybody. They're trying to work all of it. Watch what this guy's doing. Speaking with brothers this morning about it. And saying that, you know, it looks like they're going to do away with purgatory. You know? I mean, that's their talkings now. Why? Because they're trying to get everything to where everybody will join together. See? They ain't going to change none of their thinking. They're just going to change their outward. All right, but that's fine. Let them do what they want to. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about you and I in receiving God's word. See, you will say, well, why, Brother Dale, are we here 50 years after the prophet left? Because of you and I. May I quote the prophet? I see only one thing, he said, that's holding off the coming of the Lord. What did he say? The readiness of the bride. So, whose fault is it? Well, if we could just get it. Yeah, okay. Now, let's don't worry about getting somebody else straightened up. Let's start around and work on our own doorsteps, you know. We call it, you know, sweep around our own doorsteps and get it clean, and things might be in order. But, you know, there's nothing out of order. There's nothing out of cater. Is it right? Everything's right on time. Everything's perfectly in order. We might not agree with that, but yet it is, because God is doing his work and fulfilling his word. All right. But see, then, never forget that. See, then, when you talk about predestination, remember, if you talk about predestination, you're coming over on this side of eternity to the predetermining factor. When you're dealing with foreknowledge, you're back on the other side of eternity and dealing with God and what he believes and his ways of doing. And now, remember, God cannot change his mind about his word. So then his word is perfect. Everything is in order. All right. See, then he doesn't predetermine anything on earth except from what he saw before. I like a little word Brother Branham used in the seal book when he was talking about the Pentecostals. And he said they cabbaged down on that. I like that. So I've warned you not to cabbage down now on foreknowledge. See, we've spent a lot of time talking about foreknowledge. But I warn you not to cabbage down on that point of just foreknowledge is God's mind. You know, well, if he had a plan and a purpose, according to the prophet, Brother Forney quoting it there Wednesday, see, of Christ the mystery of God revealed, if he had a plan and a purpose that he was going to see achieved, then let's don't worry about or think about just the mind. Because remember, Judas was in his mind. So you say, if I was just in his mind, I'm all right. Well, everybody's ever been in the world, every gnat that would ever bat its eye is in the mind of God. He knows that. But does that make it where his foreknowledge just stops on his... See, that's where our problem. We make a foreknowledge point as just being that he thought of it. Well, remember, if he thought of it, the earth has to display what he thought of. That's your predetermining is coming down to an earthly part. So hold your foreknowledge to a point this morning with me when I get on over into the message a little bit. And bring that foreknowledge into a positive extent as not to just something thought of. Remember that we covered that over and over and over. It's not that God just sits down and he's sitting there thinking like the thinker. You know, he's saying, well, what am I going to do? I think I'll make man. Well, if I do, maybe I'll make him this way. No. Right. Everything he ever thought of is connected to his word, or which is his word, which is his thoughts. Yep. And he can't be contrary then. So it's not just something he would think of as us human elements think. You know, we do that. But see, we can change our thoughts, but God can't change his thoughts. His thoughts are eternal. So if you ever had one thought, it can't be changed. All right? See, then that way we can be settled with the point of believing it. So watch now as we try, as I said, into this year, as we try to progress a little more into more of the positive extent that we need to think about. I'll give you this quote over again in a little bit. What was the matter with the priest? He done everything by what he had learned. He done it all by what had happened. The little woman at the well was talking about what was happening. Present tense. And remember, there is no future until the future comes, and then when it does, it's time. It's not that God is over somewhere else. I love that point when I first heard the prophet make the statement. He said, even though we had sinned so much in the garden, he said, but God did not just go off somewhere on a vacation and sit down. He said he come right down to dwell with us. Moses coming up there to the burning bush, and what did he say? He said, God spoke to him. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Come on, you're going. He said, I'm not going. Come on, think about what he said. He said, you got to give me something personal. Something that I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But said, you got to give me something real. And what did he say? I am that I am. That means ever present for eternity. Not just ever present. It means ever present for eternity. All right? So Moses had something eternal to go with. The thoughts of God. Right? See, the thoughts of God are eternal, and we have to keep it on that basis. All right? Now, watch that when we come back to it in a minute. Because I've got a funny way of approaching things, but that's my ways. I'm sorry. But we were talking about last Sunday on why must you be born again? As I said, we can quote. Yeah. We can think about things. We can quote, you know, and we can say, oh, the reason. And we can quote Brother Branham, you know, and do, and that's wonderful because I try to. But what is the point? Why must we be born again? We can talk like this. Because he's dead. In the flesh he's in. He's a hybrid. Take a spoken word original seed. He's got to be born again. Why? He was born in sin from Eve's sin. Right. So we know we must be born again because we were born in sin from Eve's sin. Then he goes on later in the same message. That was paragraph 122, 121, 122. Paragraph 84 in the same message, spoken word. He said we were born between Satan and Eve. You know, it's odd. Brother Branham doesn't have to talk about and call everything the beast. Because he's talking about the seed of the serpent. And remember, the seed of the serpent is not the literal seed, the beast, planted into Eve. The seed of the serpent is the unbelief that he had planted into the mind of Eve to bring her to a place that she would accept the beast and the things that would take place. So it doesn't mention seed of the beast. Throughout the Bible, it's the seed of the serpent. It's Paul talking about, let Satan deceive you through his subtlety like he did Eve. Everybody relating back to that. But then when you hit the book of Revelation, you come back then to what? Speaking of the beast. Because it would come back to the finishing up of all things. All right. Well, see, why must we be born again? Because we're a hybrid. Brother Brown said it don't make no difference, priest, king, who? He said we're all hybrid. What is a hybrid? What is a hybrid? Now come on, we take and we put together this and we put together that and make a hybrid. All right, it'll grow that year, so don't just roll your mind on a hybrid that it won't grow. It will grow. And it'll produce after then. The corn will produce, it just won't produce too good. But what does it wind up being then? No good, because it can't breed itself back. We've got to have something to be able to bring us back to the original. And that is only can be done by the Word of God. All right? Now, so why must we be born again? Why couldn't Nicodemus understand that? As I've been trying to bring out. Even bringing out the things a prophet would say. Nicodemus had a great understanding of God's word. He was called the teacher. He had a great understanding. Jesus didn't have to say, Nicodemus, let me show you Isaiah 9:6, you know. He didn't have to say, let me get this scripture over here and we'll run the scroll. Nicodemus could tell him what was before Isaiah 9:6 and what 9:7 was, 9:8. He could tell him the whole thing. Why? Because he had a great understanding of God's word. His life was perfect. No sin against him. If not, then even the one point that I tried to emphasize, if he had sin in his life, Jesus would have called that out first. Because he said, get rid of that. Because there's your problem. That's what he said with everybody else. He was constantly picking on the Pharisees, right? What? For their unbelief. The only thing he says to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh, we think we got that figured out. You know, we do. You know, poor Nicodemus just didn't believe. Didn't believe what? He come to Jesus. He put his job on the line. He done everything. And he said, confessed him. See, you say, we confess and we believe. Nicodemus said, we believe that you're a man of God, sent from God, because no man could do the things that you do except God be with him. Pretty good confession. But why wasn't he born again? Because he could not follow the simplicity of what Jesus was saying to him. And we'll get to that this afternoon on the message of the kingdom and bringing out some things. He just couldn't follow it. Why? Because I told you the original, I gave you Brother Branham where he verified. The original says you must be born from above. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, you got to be born from where I was born. And I was born from above. And see, then he couldn't follow that. Because Jesus was speaking of a spiritual birth. He thought he was speaking of some natural thing, because that's all they had in mind. Even the disciples, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, after all that was said and done, all the things that were said about them, and how they did believe him, and all the things, what did it wind up in Acts 1 and 8? Right before the ascension of the Lord Jesus, what did the disciples say? Are you going to return the kingdom to Israel at this time? Now, boy, that's a lot of understanding, ain't it? Well, because that's all they knew, as we'll get to it this evening. He kept speaking of a kingdom, a kingdom, a kingdom, a kingdom. But they couldn't understand it. So Nicodemus was being told, you must be born from above. I said, what's wrong with you, Nicodemus? Now let's put the message in. What was he saying to him? You were born wrong. Is that true? He's saying you were born wrong. That's just putting it down in Brother Branham's language, right? But what was he saying to Nicodemus? If he's telling him he needed to be born again, surely he was telling him he was born wrong the first time. But how about telling a man that had no marks against him, and the whole family had no marks against him? Granddaddy, daddy, granddaddy, granddaddy, all the way back, no marks against him. You must be... There's something wrong with your birth. Your natural birth will not carry you into the kingdom that I'm speaking of. You see where my mind runs, okay? Sorry, but follow with me. We'll get back this afternoon. But how about him saying what Brother Branham said to you and I? Paragraph 84, spoken words written in the sea. He said, we were born between Satan and Eve. Now, boy, can't you just see them old religious Pharisees in our day when Brother Branham said that to them? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Why, my lineage is right. Yeah. I told you how we stand, how I stand. You black people can follow your roots back to where you come from. We can't follow us. Ours no further than the Mayflower. You call us a Caucasian? I say we're a concoction. But that's where people don't like for me to be that plain. We're just a mixed up bunch of stuff. We couldn't follow our roots back to nowhere. But see, it can't be in all of that. That was what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. He was trying to tell Nicodemus that you were born wrong. That you were born between Satan and Eve. He said, no way. My granddaddy, my grandma, everybody's pure in line. And you telling me? And he probably even sat there thinking, well, if nothing else, I can run it 10 generations. Come on, Nicodemus knew the word, right? You know what I mean, 10 generations. You bleed out the wrongdoings of 10 generations, right? You can come back into the congregation. He said, at least I know my lineage for 10 generations. This guy's telling me I was born wrong. And at least maybe I can plead the point that it's 10 generations has been going good. But that wouldn't bring him out. That did not bring him to the new birth. That did not take him to the upper room. Now, if you don't get nothing out of the message today, my point is one thing. Those who made it to the upper room had something that took them there. And if you've had an upper room experience, there was something in you brought you to that place. Because that's the point of what we're talking about. All right, what was the last thing to try to get off and get down? Was trying to bring something to you that I believe is very, very important. If you didn't hear last Sunday's message, I ask you to please listen to it. We have the tapes. They're there for you. I wish you would listen to it. All right? See, what was that last thought that we were bringing last Sunday? I ask you a simple question. The question was, what scripture stands out to you? And there's something about that scripture that will be dealing with you and will always be present with you in your thinking to bring you to a new birth, or as we call it, a born-again experience, of you must be born again. Remember what we were bringing out, the little woman at the well? She said, I've read the Bible. Well, the Nicodemus had read the Bible. Right? And a whole lot more than she had. Right? And what he was doing all of his life. But Brother Branham says on the future home, now these are not coming up quotes, so don't, you can have them if you want them. Paragraph 132 of the future home, Brother Branham said that that little woman had just a little bit of understanding. She said, I know when the Messiah cometh. You remember how we went through it as an illustrating? You know that Nicodemus come and recognize Jesus to be a prophet because he said, nobody can do the things you do unless God be with you. You evidently must be a prophet. It's not just written out, he called him a prophet. Huh? But see, the little woman there at the well, she said, quick as Jesus told her about the five husbands she had and the one she had wasn't hers, she said, you must be a prophet. Amen. But it went further with her. All right? It went to the point that she was thinking, what? There's something special about this man. I can believe he's a prophet. We said, we know that when the Messiah, she was letting out her little understanding of the word back to Jesus and said, we know when the Messiah cometh. He said, I'm he. Throw down her water pot and run off to her fourth husband, fifth or seventh or ninth or whatever. No, she stood there and listened to him. He said, I'm he. She thought it over for a minute because she knew it tied to the word. They were looking for a Messiah. But you know what? Nicodemus was looking for a Messiah, right? What was the difference? She had a little bit of understanding of God's word. Brother Brown says on the message there, the future home, he said she was one of his attributes. Huh? One of his thoughts. Then he goes on to what we were talking about. Paragraph 180 and 182 of proving his word. She said, I perceive that you are a prophet. What did Brother Brown say? He said, that's just all he wanted her to see. He didn't go into the seals, the vials, the plagues, the thunders, the right, we try to do, right? That was all he wanted her to understand. That was enough for her to have something to do when she went to the upper room. I know this is repeating what I said, but I'll get the point. What about what the disciples? Did not Peter in Matthew 16, when Jesus asked him who he was, and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Wasn't that a pretty good confession? The Christ, not just a Christ. Or an anointed one, the Christ. Right? What about when the disciples in John 1 and 41 said, Come, we found the Messiah. What about that? What about when Martha, as I said there the other day, you know, did you go back and check it? See, Mary was the one that was concerned at sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him preach. And they always condemning Martha because Martha was out busily working in the house and getting food ready and doing everything. Jesus turned and said, she's got her part. But who was it that came first when Lazarus was in the tomb? Martha came first to meet Jesus. She had to go get Mary. Well, you say, well, what do you say? I'm just saying what's the truth. See, sometimes you might say, well, that's just a little old housewife. Why, she ain't got nothing to do with the word. Get that garbage out of your mind. Because we've all got something to do. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the little woman, she just had a little understanding. Martha, Peter, John, all of the ones that were confessing, they had a little understanding of the Word of God. They confessed him to be the Messiah, but Nicodemus never confessed him to be the Messiah. He confessed him as coming from God. He confessed him as a great teacher. He confessed him of all things, but he never confessed him as being the Christ. So believing that he was a prophet was not enough. Because he was doing more at that day. There was a time that it would have been all right. All right? So she had just a little understanding of the word. That we know when the Messiah cometh, he'll do these things. Brother Brown said that's all God wanted her to have. Why? Because that would be enough to take her to be a witness down to the men that was contrary to what she's supposed to do. Her being a prostitute, she runs into the town and starts telling everybody about the Messiah. But you know what I love about it? Because it's true. They finally come out and they started listening because they heard her and they knew that something had happened unto her. They knew a change had come into her life. You weren't a prostitute no more. Right? She didn't have numbers but number seven. But look, they said, after he had been with them and talked with them, go read your Bible, they said, we don't have to depend upon, just paraphrasing what you said, now we know ourselves. We're convinced. A lot of people had a lot of convincing statements about the Lord Jesus. But what kind of statements were those? Like I've always tried to teach you, you know, the Bible said that Jesus was seen of over 500 brethren after his resurrection. The Bible names it 500. There's 120 in the upper room. Where's the other 380? Something was wrong with their confession. They were like Nicodemus. It was not enough. We're going to get to a point in a minute, so hang on. So then truly faith, as we've just read, cometh by hearing. And hearing cometh what? By the word. Now what is that saying? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word. What? The word itself, in letter form, whatever how you want to state it, or verbally speaking it from your lips, is not a substance. No. Letters on a page. Your prophet said that as long as it lays in this book, it can be questioned. He said, but when it comes off of the book into your life, it can't be questioned. So then when faith cometh by hearing, it has to be by hearing. Great. But hearing has to become a substance. Or it's not true faith. It's mental concept. All right? So then faith comes by hearing. But listen, it becomes a true faith when what we hear has become a substance within us. The little woman, she had a substance. What? We know when the Messiah cometh. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had a substance. But that did not make him a born-again Christian at the time. That's where our wrong is. He still had to go to the upper room. What about it? I quote this to you a lot. So I said, well, if I quote it to you, I'll try my best to produce it. So go ahead with number 1A, brothers, because look, what about the disciples? And listen what happened to them, because it's first it's these are telling what happened back in their life, but this goes in, all right? So verse 32 says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn in him, or the road to Emmaus the two? While he taught with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. Now, what did he open to them the scriptures about? himself. Right. He began to express to them. So now when they get over, right? When they run over with the rest of them, what happens? Then he opened their, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So then faith must be a word that is vastly confused to people. Because they say, we believe it. Well, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You realize what he was saying? Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Creator. Amen. You are the Creator God. That didn't give him a birth. No matter if Mary or Martha could say, we know. That did not give them a birth. The little woman at the well had a little understanding of the word. That didn't give her a new birth at that time. But just remember what I've always tried to teach you too. Had it not been for that, she would have not received a new birth because she would have never went to the day of Pentecost. So something took her there. Something took her to the position that the word could be revealed, you know, made alive. But just because God opens your understanding of the word doesn't mean you're saved. And a man told me one time, he said, God spoke to me in an audible voice, and I don't doubt him. I believe him. Told me to go get baptized in the name of the Lord, name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've told you the story. He didn't do it correct. I said, you told me God spoke to you. I'm going to accept your word, so you're condemned by your own word. You said, but God don't speak to people. Now, that's where you're wrong. The Bible is full of God speaking to people. Okay, come on. New Testament is full of God speaking to people. Oh, where there's not prophets. You've got to be a prophet and God speak to you. Prophets, the word come to the prophets. Personal things of happening or whatever it is for the hour or the moment is coming to you and I even today as God speaks to you. Amen. We're not talking about the word coming as a prophet brings it. We have that in the correct order. We see, faith then cometh by hearing the word. And it becomes a substance when you allow that word to be made alive in you. All right? So faith cometh by hearing to the little woman. Faith cometh by hearing to Peter. Faith cometh by hearing to many of the that are in the Bible. But it was not a substance faith. May I quote Brother Branham? About the little woman that touched his garment. What did he call it? Faith for the time. What is faith for the time? It's not Holy Ghost filled, born again experience faith. It's faith for the time. Those Old Testament saints did not have the new birth. The Bible said Jesus Christ had not been crucified. The Holy Ghost had not been given. That's in John. Come on. I thought we understood it that way. I say that to people in this message today when I understood that in the Baptist church because I could read the Bible. The new birth didn't come until the day of Pentecost. Had it come into their hearts and they had eternal life, what did you need of Pentecost? But you see, those people back there, look what they could do. Read Hebrews 11 and see all the things that those Old Testament saints done. And they done it by a faith in God that God spoke to their heart and told them who they were and what was going on. And they walked out upon what God had said. Right. You can call it a substance because a lot of it was a substance back there. Yeah. Right. But you understand what I'm getting at. Brother Branham said, may I quote spoken words of original seed? He said, what David needed was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. He said that's what he needed. Because he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But he needed that word made alive. He said he'd never went to the bed with Bathsheba had it been an inner experience. See, church, I'm trying to get a point to it, if you understand. You can say, I've had my understanding opened by the prophet. Amen. May I quote Paul that runs into some believers? Yep. Right? Come on, they were believers. Yep. Proven for who was, what was his name? Apollos. Was it Apollos? Proven that Jesus was the Christ. Is that the one? If I get the wrong name in the wrong place, somebody was already preaching. Paul comes over where he's at. And Paul looks around at the crowd and he says, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now watch him. This is Brother Branham. I'm paraphrasing. Listened to it the other day. He said, they say, we were baptized unto John. He said, Brother Branham says, Paul knew immediately they had not come by the word. Now watch him. He was by the word to follow John in his baptism. What is he meaning? He knew immediately they were not in the present tense truth of understanding because they did not know. And this is way years later when Paul comes along, and they did not know. They were just proving that Jesus was the Christ. They didn't know Jesus had raised from the dead. Come on. They just, what did he say? He said, have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we don't even know whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. That's why he went on to say, he said, well, then how was you baptized? He said, under John. He knew immediately that they were not in the present truth of that moment. But once it was expounded unto them, the Holy Ghost came, right? Now you show me it somewhere, I'll repeat it two or three times. But you show me anywhere in the Bible that the Holy Ghost ever came without the Word coming first. I challenge that to the world. Show it to me. Where that the Holy Ghost ever came without the Word coming first. Because what good would it do to come? What would it quicken? You can't do it. Come on. See, the word is why I read that in Romans. The word has to be preached before the Holy Ghost can come. All right? But look, what about Acts 2? You say, well, the Holy Ghost came down. No, come on. Go back and read your Bible. You're reading over there, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost came. You're reading that. Go back and read the whole story, chapter 1 and 2, and come on through with me. What was it? They didn't make the astounding statement right at the beginning. What must we do? It was after Peter preached a sermon unto them about the coming of the Messiah and how that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and how he brought all of those things down. Right? And once they heard it, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart, which means they got sorrowful. They realized it was right. It was brought to their attention. Their understanding of the Scriptures was opened that they understood what Peter was saying. And then they said, what must we do? That's where I love the statement Brother Branham made on that, right? Said, they asked, what must we do? Said, they ask us, what must we do? Said, we tell them to quit this and quit that and start this and do that and do that. Pay your tithe and make sure you go to church. He said, that was not what they asked. They asked, what must they do? And they knew they couldn't do nothing. Then it was repent, every one of them be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Right? What? Scripture opening to people before the Holy Ghost can come is my point. Yeah. Think about it. So they become sorrowful and they come to a point of understanding. It says pierced is the original, or pricked. They came to a position of realizing what this man was saying was the truth. And as they did, they said, what can we do? See, what is your point? My point is one thing. The word must be preached before the Holy Ghost can come. It does no good for the Holy Ghost to fall without the word being preached. Now, come on, folks. I'd make everything as straight as I can without people running it off. See, oh, you're a preacher. You like to brag on them preachers. It don't have to be a preacher. Mama can speak to you. Mama can speak to you the word of God. She did to Moses. You're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, it's reading it off the Bible. Well, I didn't ever hear no preacher preach to me and I got the Holy Ghost. You read the Bible, didn't you? That's what somebody said. Mama said it. Daddy said it. Somebody said it. They brought it to your understanding, and then the scriptures would be opened. Do you understand what I'm getting at? The apostles, it says twice there in Luke that he opened their understanding of the scriptures. But that didn't bring them to the new birth right then. They had to wait until it came. All right? Now, get what we're saying. We'll go so far, and I'll quit and then pick up this evening because I know I can't make it now. All right? See, then the Word of God must be first planted before the Holy Ghost can give life. Now, is that all the parables? Is that the parable of Jesus? You know, the kingdom is like unto a man who does this and that. And, you know. Is that the scriptures? Does the Bible say that the Son of Man is the sower of the Word? He's always been the sower of the Word. He's the only sower of the Word. No, Paul didn't preach it. By who? Paul might not have understood the Son of Man, but he knew who was speaking through him. He had that understanding. See, any place in the Bible, show me where the Holy Ghost ever came that before they heard the Word. It can't be. But the seed has to be planted before the Holy Ghost can come and give life to the seed.
That's right.
Amen. Right? So what is then the new birth? What is the new birth? Well, I got this baptism. I'm sitting in the rain. Okay, wonderful. That's your experience. Now, if you're going to make those things in the right order, you better get it in the right order. Because if not, you're going to say nobody else didn't get it because they didn't get it the way you got it. If you say the Holy Ghost was like raindrops falling on you, you see, if you say the Holy Ghost was shouting, you say the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, the Holy Ghost was in and out of the other, then I'm going right back to the Bible with it. Now, which one are we going to pick out to be the evidence? Because remember, that's what you're saying. You're going to try to make everybody speak in tongues again. Yeah. I believe Brother Branham was a prophet. What are you making it? Make it what the Bible says. The Bible said, Jesus said, the Word of God is a seed that the sower went forth to sow.
Right?
See? And we won't get to it, I know, until we get this evening, but remember, it's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God, 154 Church Age book, but the seed or word. So we'll back up to that this afternoon and start right there. But I'm trying to get you to see something as the point to line up with what I was talking about last Sunday, and then we'll go into the point of bringing something to you. Mm-hmm. Because this statement has always been confusing to me. Where Brother Brown said, you did not become seed by the rebirth. Our new birth, ever what the word is. I'll give it this afternoon. We'll get it right in there. Do you believe he said it?
Sure.
You ought to believe he said it, or I wouldn't be saying it. I got a little sense. If you want me to hold on long enough, I could get you where he said it at, because I got it in here somewhere. Okay, I'll get it this evening. They probably done got it, Samaritan Church Age. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. Now then, we'll get to that, so we'll erase that one. Okay, we'll get to that this evening. Because that's always been confusing to me. I'm a kind of a guy that likes everything laid in order. And you know what I do? Until it's made known to me, I write a question in that. You heard me speak of the Daniel 70 weeks, and some of you read my book, or took my book and looked at it. I had a question. I don't understand that. 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 I had a lot of question marks. I would not preach on it until every question mark was raced out. Then I had no worries about what I said. I would not preach on this thought the way I'm going to bring it this afternoon until it was made known to me what that's talking about. Because at least ought to be that much. Well, we don't need to know this. We don't need to. While we're here 50 years. Okay. Evidently, we need something. And like I always say, it might not be what I preach helps you, but maybe my attitude and my wording will make you go home and study. Then I've done my job to get you to study instead of just saying, well, I believe the prophet. We believe the prophet. Well, what did he say? Well, I don't know. That's just like we done in the Daniel 70 weeks. We went to a meeting of ministers that we could call our names and your mouth would drop of the ones that was there. And you know, out of 30 that was there, 20 of them didn't even have a drawing that Brother Branham preached at Daniel 70 weeks, but they were ready to straighten everybody else up. Didn't even have a drawing. They didn't even, most of them didn't even have a book. But yet they knew all about it. Oh, that's wonderful. I don't think Nanny wants to go Wednesday up to the doctor for them to do a procedure on her and walk in there and they say, well, we ain't never done this before. You're going to be the first one we tried on. I'm going to get out of there. All right. But what about now? We could spend so much time speaking about, and we'll spend a little bit later with the kingdom, you know, to understand, all right, the domain and the thing. All right. But what is a simple scriptural explanation of what the new birth is or the born-again experience? Because remember, Jesus gave two things there with Nicodemus. One, unless you're born again, you cannot see. Which means understand. Oh, we got that. We know all about that. Quick, somebody say, that's. And if you don't use the word understand, they sit there and look at it. I've known for 40 years that it was understand. And that guy don't even know it's understand. Boy, that's really a great revelation. So I don't worry about it. Because you see, it was the day I done that. Any problem? Listen. What is a simple statement I made it the other day in the message. How many remembers this a couple of weeks ago? That John, in the John 3, Jesus says, you have got to be born again. Right. To see or understand the kingdom. Then he goes a couple of verses and he says, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom. Hey, come on, that's sensible, isn't it? If you can't understand it, if you don't see it, you can't enter it. I'm not a member of the Odd Fellers. I'm an Odd Feller, but I'm not a member of the Odd Fellers. You know why? Because I don't know where it's at. I ain't never tried to join it. So I'd have to first go see where it's at, and I'd try to enter. What about you? But listen, I told you two things there, and I said, remember these two things. One of them is that Jesus required it. That's John. You must be born again twice, he says it to. But I said, Peter told you how to be born again. Peter told you how. Now we will get back to where Jesus told Nicodemus how to be born again. But it's a very secretively thing written in there that is hard to understand because you'll go the wrong way with it. Jesus explains how to be born again. He that is born of water and spirit. Sure. But see, Peter was chosen. Like I said to our Sunday, watch night, and I say it always when we're taking the communion. Isn't it a very odd situation that of all of the apostles that the Lord Jesus was with, that was with him all the way through, the John, the Peter, the James, all? But not a one of them explained the communion? Give me the scripture for it if he did. No, Paul comes in and explains the communion. Evidently, he must have been more qualified. Now, don't you think that? Don't you think God uses the one that's the best qualified to bring it? And if you don't believe it that way, then if I was you, I'd turn in my books and tapes. I'd send them back to Jeffersonville. Because I think I've walked behind the man that was capable of explaining the Word of God. But now all this other junk that's on there, with all of their, even the guy that can walk out, or did walk out in mid-air. I'm not going to follow him. All right. So Peter was chosen. Now watch him. Now you know what I'm saying is true. That's where it says being born again means a process. Right? Now take Peter here and apply him to 2 Peter. And watch him explain this right here. But Paul was not chosen to explain that. He speaks of things, love and headstone and things. But he was not chosen to say those things. See, everybody's got something to do. Right? You got something to do. We'll get to that. But look, what does it say? Pull that back up, 1 Peter 1:23, brother. And let's read it. And we can see what the new birth is. And while they're pulling that part, remember the whole of the parables, the whole of Jesus' ministry was speaking of a kingdom to come. Right? But it was not a physical kingdom. He said, if it was, my disciples would fight till even Pharaoh, or which one of the guys was, he went back over there and he said, listen, I have nothing to kill this man for. He said to Jesus, are you a king? He said, if my kingdom was of this world, my disciples would fight. Immediately, Pilate said, I ain't afraid of you. Right? He come back to the Jews. He said, hey, look, I'm not afraid of this guy trying to take over. You deal with it. You remember they said, we got a law. We can't deal with it. We want to kill this guy. He said, I'm not going to give you. And finally, he had to release it because of his popularity. But just remember, his statement was true. But look what it says. John says you must be born again. A requirement. I remember Richard one time when he came down after being down a little while, and he was reading the Statue of a Perfect Man. And he said, our son-in-law, he said, I didn't know God required these virtues. He said, it's right there in the book. Brother Brown said, this is a requirement. It is a requirement that we be born again. Well, I'll try it. Maybe it'll work. Oh, no. You're not going to enter the kingdom. Well, look what Peter says. Peter tells you exactly how to do it. Exactly how to get born again. Exactly how everybody. Now, listen to me. I believe everybody, the new birth is the same. Now, you show me it's not. Because you're going to go into gifts and signs and wonders and tongues and that. Get that out of it. Those are attributes of your experience that is not your experience. Everybody has the same experience. I like what Brother Branham told a man one time. He said, you were born like a number four. He said, but your Christian experience puts you a number two. He said, you'll fight your nature all of your life. Well, I'm not saying just a number two is a number two and the right number we need. Because you run your numerologies back and you might find out you're something else. It don't make you born again to come out to the right number. But there's one thing about it. I believe I can prove by the prophet that all born again believers are born in Bethlehem. Do you need that quote? Well, I've never been to Bethlehem. Oh, you're wonderful. Every born again believer is born under the same sign, not your zodiac. That's why we're all supposed to be born under a lamb. I admit a lot of times I get kind of wolfish or bearish or roughish. But still, the new birth. Okay. Well, look. Look what he says. Being born again. Now, remember, he goes on to tell you, because you say being born again is a process, all right? If your process stops, you were never born again to start with. So being born again applies here. Being born again applies to the stature of a perfect man. Okay, even though it's separated in a few scriptures. But listen, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Oh, now, we figure that out because of seed. If I happen to be born from Adam, I can be saved. But if I'm born from the... Oh, glory. Junk. But people call it great revelations. Peter just explained it. What is an incorruptible seed? Hey, come on. You can only buy 99.9. Right? You buy your seed, it says pure seed, or what's the word there for? He said it's 99.9. That's the best you're going to get. Most time you're going to get about 90 or 70. Huh? Right? Because there's no such thing as the 100%. In your seed lineage, because it's already perverted and coming down. Okay, forget it. But do you understand what I'm saying? You're not born of corruptible seed. God don't have any natural seed. He creates. He does not have a natural seed. I thought we got away from that, to where that we would believe that the great Trinity was, that the Father sent the Holy Ghost and He come down and had an affair with Mary. You say, well, it didn't say that. Well, what are you saying it said? The Holy Ghost brought it down like some seed. That was what was taught. The Holy Ghost delivered it. Look, God don't have but one seed. That's his word. All right, we'll get to the statement this evening. It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It's the word or seed. Right? All right. But look, not of corruptible seed, not of corruptible word. May I quote Brother Branham? He said, false prophets produce false births. He said, true prophets produce the word. Okay? All right. Being born again. See why it's so valuable to hear the word? It don't matter to me. It's just like a man told me one time. And he got really upset at me because of what I'd say back to him. He said, I took my wife down to a Pentecostal church to get her free in the spirit where she could get the Holy Ghost. I stopped and looked at him. I said, you mean to tell me that you're going to say that a Pentecostal can get the Holy Ghost to come on somebody better than somebody who follows the word? Oh, yeah, you can get experiences. You can get the shoutings. You can get, I stood in Jamaica and seen them rattle the tongues of the kids to try to get them to speak in tongues. Come on, some of you said it. There'd be on one side of you saying, let go, brother. Let go. Said on the other side, they said, hang on, hang on. You didn't know which way to go. Right? I'm not making light of anybody. I'm just saying, you mean to tell me that a Pentecostal, a true Pentecostal, Pentecost guy, can get the Holy Ghost to come on people better than somebody who understands the word? I will remind you that they were some brothers in the Bible. That's why I love the word of God. They had preached. They had done everything. They had baptized these people. They had done everything in the book and couldn't get the Holy Ghost to come on them in the book of Acts. You remember that? Who was it? They sent out, was it John and Peter? Who was it? They sent after somebody. Peter. And they come down and just said a few words and the Holy Ghost fell. But see, we think the Holy Ghost is just shoutings and screamings and cryings. But Brother Dale, you're just not emotional. Because, you know, you get the kids up to the altar, you need to get excited while we're with them. You need to get the adults excited. You need to shake them a little bit. I'll remind you what I was doing in Atlanta one time when this certain brother was standing, and they was coming by him, and as they was coming by him, he was screaming and hollering and shaking. I ain't against that. I believe in it. But I'm telling you an experience. And he was there shouting and crying, trying to get them to shaking them, moving them, pushing them. They walked right on over where I was at, and I said simply one thing. I said, let's settle down here just a little bit now. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let's just get your mind on God. Get it off of all this shouting and screaming and hollering. All that's well and good. But let's get your mind on God. Because you're seeking the new birth. And that's not the new birth. That's attributes of shoutings and things. You know what the man was doing? I've told you. The man was just standing there and he's looking. Because he's seen them people going off on that side before I was praying for him. And they were shouting and screaming and hollering. He kept looking. He kept looking. The next night we had a prayer line. The brother was standing here and I was standing beside of him. You know what he said? He wasn't shouting and screaming and shaking none of those people. He said, let's just get our mind on the Lord. And let's just settle down now. We try to get the new birth. You think I rebuked him? No. He heard and he's seen. He seen what was going that way was greater than what he was leaving him. Why can't we believe it? But you're just too dry, Brother Dale. You're just not. Okay, that's up to you. Look. What is the new birth? But of incorruptible by the word of God. What is the new birth? The word made alive in you. That liveth and abideth forever. What is the evidence? We'll get to it this evening. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? The same for everybody. It's not shouting and crying. That's attributes. That's things you do because of your nature and your ways, the way you were raised up. Run around and said you're born again under a dry place. He said you'll be dry. He said you're born again under an emotional experience. You'll be emotional. I'm not against that. I believe it. You don't know my emotions. You don't know me when I'm in the woods by myself. I'm crying and weeping out before God. I've stood with my gun that far to that wall from me and me hunting. Because I don't care what comes. When I get something, God gives it to me. If you want to talk to little Mark Axendroff about it, I tried my best to get him on a deer stand, and no, he didn't want that. He wanted to go up to this other one. He texted Donnie. He's got me in the wrong place. Twice he texted him. He put me over here where there ain't no deer. About 2 minutes later, one come out and he shot it and killed it. I tried my best the next day to get him to go back to that stand. I ain't going. I'm going over here to the... I said, okay. I go down. He said, what did you see? I said, well, I only saw probably an 8-point or better. I didn't care because I didn't want to kill it. He said, I ought to know better. Okay. But listen, folks. What is the new birth? By the Word of God. Now, you show me, as I said, anywhere in the Bible, come on, musician, that anybody was ever born again, that the Word didn't come first. So then it has to be the Word first. What is your experience? I didn't ask you how many times you shouted, spoke in tongues, cried, what you do. I asked you what was your experience. The experience is the opening of the Word. That's why the little woman at the well, when she went to the upper room, she had something. That's why Peter, when he went to the upper room, he had something. That's why all of the 120 went to the upper room. They had something. The 380 of the others that seen Jesus after he raised didn't have enough understanding. I ain't saying they didn't come on, because the Bible calls them brethren. Read your Bible. I'm not that hateful as you think. It says they were 500 brethren. They could have ever one come on and received the Holy Ghost. But they didn't have it in the right state that day. Then there was 3,000 outside that had never, a lot of them had never heard about Jesus. But when Peter preached that message, they were pricked in their heart. He said, repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. 3,000 saved. Come on, why don't we get in all the message? You know, there's people in this message believe you can't get the Holy Ghost until you're baptized. I got scripture says you can. I got a prophet says you can. You can argue all you want to. You're making baptism your regeneration. You better be careful. But I will state this way. I don't believe you'll get the Holy Ghost if you refuse to be baptized. You will never get it. I don't care how much you shout and what you do, you ain't going to get the new birth, because it's the birth of the Word. Let's stand. Sorry, but it's getting to where now I'm preaching too long.
403.
Let's sing a verse. If anybody needs, has a need, come, because it's about 3 minutes from 12.
I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been reborn now, all my life has been rearranged.
Brother, his uncle passed away, and then his uncle's boy passed away. Lord, these things get hard on us. And our brother's got to go there and be with them, so you bless him and be with the families. Just bless the families, Lord, as a loss of the loved one. And let your family. He's packed two of these. Just pray with the Lord to bless Danny. Just anybody have a need?
Have His way in my life. And I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way.
When at last in His presence I stand alone, He will wipe every tear from my eyes, and I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me.
He wants more prayer cloth. She got a great testimony. She wrote about it, how that the Lord has brought her through a lot of the things. She listened to the services and things and viewing in. She wants more prayer cloth. So we just going to send them to her and believe that whatever she has need of, it will be taken care of, because we believe it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we send these prayer cloths to our sister. For whatever need it be, You have brought her, Lord, things. You'll bring her on, Lord, and we believe You in Jesus' name. Anybody else? You're dismissed. Just sing it unto Him.